From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. House Speaker Puan Maharani leads Indonesian delegations at G20 Parliamentary Speaker Summit. Indonesia-Colombia to synergize peacebuilding as SDGs implementation. Now the news in details. Speaker of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Puan Maharani, led the Indonesian delegation at the 6th G20 Parliamentary Speaker Summit, which was held by the Inter-Parliamentary Union IPU in Tokyo, Japan, recently. The meeting, which was the collaboration between the IPU and the Japanese parliamentary, was conducted amid the recessions of global economy due to the trade war between US and China. In a press release received in Jakarta on Tuesday, Puan Maharani said that parliaments can boost inclusive trade, particularly in providing access for state-owned enterprises, SMEs, encouraging their participation in global value change, GMC, as well as enhancing the role of female entrepreneurs in the trading sector. The Parliamentary Speakers Summit, which was attended by 18 countries and two international organizations, namely the Inter-Parliamentary Union and the European Parliament, to help dialogue in a bid to tackle global economic challenge and take actions against the decline of the multilateral trading system. Indonesia, in collaboration with Colombia, is striving to synergize the efforts of building peace and the implementation of Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, through actions of Crops for Peace. One of Indonesia's priorities as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, UNSC, is to synergize the efforts to create peace with the implementation of SDGs. It was stated by Indonesian Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs Mahendra Siregar at the opening of the two-day international workshop on Crops for Peace 2019 that began in Jakarta on Tuesday. Furthermore, the Vice Minister affirmed that Indonesia has always committed to becoming a part of the solution and contributing to international peace and security. In addition, he pointed out that elements that sustain peace, including conflict prevention, mediation, and conflict resolution, should synergize with the 2030 agenda as correlation between peace and development. Polish Ambassador to Indonesia Bita Stodzinska said that Polish business actors are keen on investing in East Belitung. It was remarked by the ambassador when paying a visit to Manggar East Belitung on Tuesday, escorted by Antara. Ambassador Bita Stodzinska pointed out that Belitung is such a wonderful island and the island has abundant tourism potentials. In addition, she explained that based on her observation of East Belitung, Belitung and East Belitung have plenty of investment opportunities in the sectors of agriculture, maritime and fisheries, as well as tourism. She and her entourage were extremely pleased by the hospitality of the Belitung people and the beauty of Ireland. The ambassador said that she would immediately inform the result of her observation to Polish business people and investors. Hence, they will be followed up from Polish investors. She also promised to return to East Belitung in a bid to explore and develop the potentials of the region. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Maritime Affairs and Fishery Minister Edi Prabowo called on regional government to actively take part in developing maritime and fishery sectors by picking up the ball and running with it in a bid to remind the central government about the problems which must be overcome and the programs must be developed. It was stated by Minister Edi Prabowo in his press release received in Jakarta on Tuesday. The minister told that his side would collaborate with central government in a bid to develop maritime and fishery sectors as long as the programs do not violate laws. He affirmed that he would strengthen coordination and two-way communication in developing Indonesia's maritime and fishery sectors. In accordance with the instructions of President Joko Widodo, he will also encourage the development of maritime and fishery sectors through fish farming in a bid to provide more job opportunities for the society. Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Wisnu Tamaku Subandio stated that the unifications, tourism and creative economy would facilitate the government in a bid to accomplish the targets of the two sectors in the future. The minister at his office in Jakarta on Tuesday remarked that through the unification, he is upbeat that the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy and Creative Economy Agency could achieve the targets of the two sectors as the two aspects are inseparable. He also pointed out that in the future, tourism sector would provide more benefits when it is supported by creativity and innovation and vice versa. Demographic bonus will become a challenge for the Indonesian government to fulfill the supplies of food and livestock in the future. In the National Coordination Meeting of Agribusiness, Food, Forestry, Food Management and Livestock Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday, Indonesian Research and Technology Minister, who also acts as head of the National Research and Innovation Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, talked about the development of research and technology in a bid to sustain the supplies of food and livestock in the future. He pointed out that his side would coordinate with related ministries in boosting the productivities of food and livestock through the implementation of research and technology. The Indonesian government will put forward the implementation of research and technology and collaborate with industry in a bid to support the needs of food and livestock domestically. Agricultural products, food, tree crops, including fisheries, are parts of the agriculture-based industries which are prioritized by the Indonesian government in the context of economic transformation. If agriculture industry is developed, farmers must increase their productions so that their products can be used to be the inputs of manufacturing sector. Furthermore, Bambang Brojonegoro stated that the government will ensure that the agriculture and livestock using research and technology have high competitiveness in the market. The Indonesian government is committed to developing the welfare of farmers as well as advancing domestic food and livestock industries in a bid to become more competitive and advantageous. The coordination meeting of food and agriculture theme, the productivities and competitiveness of agriculture and food industry, was participated in by members of the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry from various sectors. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy held a media discussion featuring the Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Wisnu Tamaku Subandio, and his Deputy Minister, Angela Tanu Sudipyo, in Jakarta on Tuesday. In the discussion, Wisnu Tama said that the tourism industry can become a source for welfare of the Indonesian people if it is managed properly. So the natural wealth and beautiful scenery is a gift from God, but with our ability to manage it, package it, it will create attractions and will become a sustainable source of welfare. This is also an extraordinary potential, because tourism and the creative economy, being the core of this nation, can earn foreign exchange with a very extraordinary future. Minister Wisnu Tama added that Ambon City in Maluku Province is a good example for the tourism industry after being designated as the city of music some time ago. For this reason, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy can assist the city in developing infrastructure to various tourist destinations in Ambon City. This is also a manifestation of a real collaboration between the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy to trigger the younger generation of Ambonese to be more creative in preserving their traditional music and culture and attracting more foreign tourist visits. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Today's commentary is on ISIS leader killed. What's U.S. next step? In a press conference on Sunday last October, U.S. President Donald Trump announced the death of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi in a night attack. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who claimed himself to be the Khalifa or leader or head of an Islamic state in western Iraq and northeast Syria, was the leader of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or ISIL, or commonly translated as Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or ISIS. Since October 4, 2011, the U.S. Department of Foreign Affairs has referred to al-Baghdadi as a specifically specified global terrorist. There were even prices of up to $10 million for information that led to his arrest or death. Baghdadi was a junior scholar known as Ibrahim Awad Ibrahim al-Badri. Although at that time he was known as a committed radical Salafi, Baghdadi showed no real movement to lead. The 2015 Brookings Institution report in Bukka Camp said that Baghdadi later became the leader of ISIS and released hateful propaganda videos throughout the world. What's interesting is Russia seemed to doubt information about the death of al-Baghdadi. Russia, through Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, still questions U.S. claims about the death of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Until now, the Kremlin is still not convinced that the ISIS leader who dubbed himself the Caliph or Khalifa was really killed. While the U.S. claimed al-Baghdadi's body parts were buried on the seabed. The international community certainly still remembers well when a former employee at the American National Security Agency, NSA, Edward Snowden, disclosed intelligence from America, Britain, and assisted by Israel, had worked together to create the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS. The document also revealed that Baghdadi had undergone intensive military training for 1 year with Mossad, the Israeli Secret Service. In addition, he also received theology lessons and how to make a speech. If the U.S. claims that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was killed, the world is now waiting. What would be the next step for America? Particularly in dealing with ISIS, amid the many accusations that from the beginning it was actually the United States that was involved in its formation. Well, that was commentary today on ISIS leader killed. What's U.S. next step? This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Hello, welcome back to Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I begin with November 6, 1908, Cut Nyadin dies. Cut Nyadin is an Indonesian national hero from Aceh who fought against the Dutch during the Aceh War. After Mukim 6 area was attacked, she fled while her husband Ibrahim Lamga fought against the Dutch. The death of Ibrahim Lamga at Gli Arum on June 29, 1878, then dragged Cut Nyadin further in her resistance against the Dutch. Cut Nyadin fought alone in the interior of Melaboh with her small army. Cut Nyadin died on November 6, 1908 and was buried at Mount Puyuh, Sumedang, West Java. Turning to November 6, 1947, the longest TV program in history begins its debut. One of the United States television stations recorded a program issued specifically that until now can still be enjoyed. The program on the NBC television station was named Meet the Press. Previously, it aired on radio in 1945 under the name American Mercury Present Meet the Press, which was commanded by Martha Roundtree and Lawrence Spivack. The aim is to provide promotion and opinions about the magazine as well as several issues that develop at home and abroad. 2 years later, the program was premiered via the NBC television station on November the 6th, 1947. The program debuted on television. I'll end with November the 6th, 2008, Obama's Day set in Kenya. Obama Day is a holiday celebrated in Kenya on November the 6th, 2008, to honor Barack Obama's victory in the 2008 U.S. presidential elections. Shortly after the U.S. election results, Kenyan President Mwai Kibaki on November the 6th set the day as a holiday. The reason is Obama's father, Barack Obama Sr., is a Kenyan. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih from Indonesia to the World.
Ku mau tahu seberapa besar rasamu.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Indonesia is the initiator and coordinator of Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP. The idea and concept of Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, was actually mentioned for the first time during 19th ASEAN Summit in Bali in 2011 when Indonesia was ASEAN leader. However, not many understand about it. That was stated by Trade Minister Agus Suparmanto during the 35th ASEAN Summit in Bangkok on Sunday, November 3. Agus Suparmanto explained the RCEP negotiation issue became instrumental, which is expected to be finished substantially this year. ASEAN that is supported by six partner countries of free trade agreements, namely China, South Korea, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, and India, agreed guiding principle for negotiating RCEP and launch RCEP negotiations into 21st ASEAN Summit in Cambodia 2012. RCEP was expected to push industrial advancement of ASEAN countries, with ASEAN joining the six FTA partner countries in RCEP regional value chain. Indonesia was appointed as coordinator country, and International Trade Negotiation Director General of Trade Ministry, Iman Pambagio, was appointed as Chairman of RCEP Trade Negotiating Committee and ASEAN Negotiator Leader. The first negotiation had begun in May 2013. According to him, RCEP became a challenge for Indonesia as well as big chance for top product export market. Iman Pambagio added, solving negotiation which involves 16 countries with different economic development is not easy. Even the negotiation progress is still very slow because some partner countries still do not have free trade agreements cooperation. He said, leading negotiation in such condition takes patience, creativity, and ability in creating concepts and ideas to solve various issues. Besides that, Iman Pambagio said, government change in member countries also affects and even slows down negotiation process. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP negotiation, almost solved all negotiation issues, especially about agreement tax. That was My Indonesia.
Jolly,
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we will introduce you Matang Kaledan Hill in South Kalimantan. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia. South Kalimantan province has abundant, enchanting and incredible tourism destinations that have not been extensively explored by a lot of people. One of the tourism objects that you have to visit once you come to the capital city of South Kalimantan, namely Banjarmasin, is the Matang Kaledan Hill. The hill is appropriate for those who are keen on adventure, because reaching the summit of the hill is such a complicated task to accomplish. You need to struggle in a bit to get to the peak. Therefore, there are a number of things that must be taken into consideration before hiking the hill, whose slope reaches 60 degrees, in addition to doing exercises to prepare your physics and stamina, as well as bringing enough hiking equipment. You also have to be careful of the steep terrain and the strong winds that will challenge your hiking. It takes approximately an hour from Jakarta to South Kalimantan. From the capital city of South Kalimantan, namely Banjarmasin, the trip to the location of Matang Kaledan Hill in Aranyo takes around 2 hours. Afterwards, in a bit to reach the summit of the hill, you also have to walk for about 30 minutes. Or you can also walk for about 30 minutes or choose to ride motorcycle. Despite the exhaustion due to hiking the hill, we guarantee that you will feel satisfied and delighted once you reach the peak of the hill. Your struggle will be paid off with the amazing view that you can witness from the peak of the hill. The Matang Kaledan Hill has wonderful landscape. The management of Matang Kaledan Hill also provides rope for those who want to hike. Furthermore, the hill also offers spectacular photo spots for those who love photography. Besides that, there are also hammocks in a bit to support your convenience and pleasure when visiting the hill. The chirp of birds and the zephyr relax you and encourage you to spend your time longer at the hill. When standing on the top of the hill, you will feel as if you behold the panorama of Raja Ampat. The islands surrounding the hill are visible. Therefore, Matang Kaledan Hill is often known as the Raja Ampat of South Kalimantan. The Matang Kaledan Hill is also renowned for its pristine nature. There are many green trees surrounding the hill. In addition, you can also take a look at the Riam Kanan Lake from the summit of the hill. So what are you waiting for? Are you ready to climb the Matang Kaledan Hill? Let's explore South Kalimantan. That was Indonesian Wonder about Matang Kaledan Hill. Thank you for listening.
yang pergi berganti, dan ku takkan pernah berhenti berharap mentari kan bersinar lagi. Rubah tiap hariku, rubah sepi hatiku. Apa ini janji? Bukan cerita. Oh, kenyataannya semua karena hatimu membawa harapan. Aku yakin kau kan selalu ada di sini. Hatimu membawa senyuman, dan ku takkan pernah ragu. Ku tak sendiri.
Membuatku kembali menari dan bernyanyi. Hadirmu,
hadirmu
di sini,
di sini. Ku tak sendiri.
Alright listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Aku terjatuh dari pohon, or in English, I fell from tree. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about aku terjatuh dari pohon, or in English, I fell from tree. Tony and Dinda are at family room. They are talking about events that have ever been happened in the past.
Waktu aku masih kecil, aku pernah terjatuh dari pohon.
Oh ya? Di mana?
Di halaman belakang.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Jatuh, which means fall. Injak, which means to step. Tabrak, which means to crash or to hit. Bawa,
which means to carry. Waktu aku masih kecil, aku pernah terjatuh dari pohon, which means when I was a child, I've ever fell down from tree. Di mana, which means where. Di halaman belakang, which means at the backyard. Waktu aku masih muda, which means when I was young. Saat aku berumur 6 tahun, which means when I was 6 years old. Ketika remaja, which means when I was a teenager. In a dialogue, Dinda tells about an incident she has ever experienced. She said, "Aku terjatuh dari pohon." Usually, the accident occurred suddenly. An event that happens unintentionally, usually preceded by affix ter. Let's follow to some examples of unintentionally accident. Kakiku terinjak orang itu, which means my foot is stepped on that man. Aku terjatuh dari pohon, which means I fell from a tree. Dia tertabrak mobil, which means he or she was hit by car. Maaf, buku Bapak terbawa oleh saya, which means sorry, I'm not intentionally carried your book. Next, when telling about the accident in the past, it is usually mentioned adverb of time related to the age. For examples, ketika aku masih kecil, waktu kecil, which means when I was a child. Waktu aku masih muda, which means when I was a young. Saat aku berumur 6 tahun, which means when I was 6 years old. Ketika remaja, which means when I was a teenager. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Waktu aku masih kecil, aku pernah terjatuh dari pohon.
Oh ya? Di mana?
Di halaman belakang.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Kemarin dan esok nanti, kenangan dan harapan bercahaya di dalam hati. Sejuta mimpi menjadi nyata.
nanti. Kenangan dan harapan bercahaya di dalam hati. Sejuta mimpi menjadi nyata.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, in today's segment of Music Corner, we present a song from West Java entitled Tokecang. The song Tokecang is usually sung by children at schools in West Java. Although it has short lyrics, the song has deep messages. The word Tokecang is abbreviation of Toke Makan Kacang, that represents a man who often eats greedily. Therefore, the song Tokecang has a message to everybody to avoid greedy and selfish. The song also invites everybody to have respect to each other. Listener, here is the song Tokecang by 10 to 5.
Kacang angan
Voice of Indonesia.
Of Indonesia.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.